This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. You tell me that it's evil. When you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Don't you know it's gonna be
alright? Alright. Alright. You say you got a real soul.
The John Lennon, kind of an appropriate song, is it not, about revolution? All the things going on around the country, on the campuses of our beloved colleges. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, the guy that comes up with all our music, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, May the 1st. Yes, indeed. Lots going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Colin Ritter of an organization called EdChoice, and we're going to talk about a new survey of American teenagers, their attitudes, their media habits, and even their scholastic attendance records. Kind of an eye-opening poll. It's a bit of a downer, so stay tuned for that just a few minutes. And Homeland Security documents show that the places where hundreds of thousands of illegals are being flown into, the large majority are being flown into Florida. And we are going to give you some details on that as well. And a U.S. health firm CEO testifying today about the company's role in funding COVID research at China's Wuhan laboratory. And it looks like he's got a lot to answer for. We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 countries with the most hurricanes. Yes, indeed, we're getting closer to hurricane season here in the United States. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, I am telling you, make a beeline to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It is in the Overcast Plaza on Overcast Drive, just north of State Road 580. Call first for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with trees, Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call Arbor Life today for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. So, much to their chagrin, the Department of Homeland Security's data is being released. It reveals that more than 45 cities in the United States are receiving illegals from other parts of the world. Hundreds of thousands of migrants being flown in via a controversial parole program for four nationalities. And the vast majority of these people are coming in via airports in Florida. In fact, during an eight-month period from January through August of last year, about 200,000 migrants flew into the U.S. via this program. 80% of them, 80% of them came in to Florida. And four cities in Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and here in Tampa Bay. These are the four major cities. Now, this is according to data that's been obtained via a subpoena by Republicans on the House Homeland Security Committee. This policy was first announced for Venezuelans back in 2022, which allowed a limited number to fly or travel directly into the U.S. as long as they had not come in illegally, and that they had to have a sponsor. And supposedly they were to be vetted. But that's kind of gone by the wayside. And then last year, the administration said they were expanding the program to include Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Cubans, and that they would allow up to 30,000 people a month to fly in. It allowed for migrants to receive work permits and a 2-year authorization to live in the U.S. Why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Now, our buddy Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, recently said the program is safe and orderly, and it's a great way to reach the U.S., and he said it's led to a reduction in numbers of these nationalities. What is he talking about? Here are the top 15 cities that these migrants are coming into. Number one is Miami. They get about 92,000. Second, is Fort Lauderdale. They get about 60,000. Then New York City gets about 15,000. Houston about 8,000. Orlando about 6,000. LA about 3,000. Tampa about 3,000. Dallas about 2,000. San Francisco 2,000. Atlanta 1,800. Newark, New Jersey, 1,500. D.C., about 1,500. Chicago only gets about 500. Las Vegas, about 480. And then the 15th is Austin. They get about 170. Why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? In the meantime, Florida filed a lawsuit to block Biden's recent changes to Title IX yesterday. Governor Ron DeSantis accuses Biden of abusing his constitutional authority. He announced, DeSantis did, a lawsuit saying that Florida, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina were going to be suing for the changes that Biden is making to Title IX. Title IX prevents schools from banning biological males from competing in women's sports, among other things. Florida is suing over its unlawful Title IX changes, says the suit. Biden is abusing his authority to push an ideological agenda that harms women and girls. In other words, they don't want them changing it so that biological males are allowed to participate with the women in these sports. I can't blame them. So there you go. All right. Let us take our break, and when we come back, we're going to have Colin Ritter of EdChoice join us. We're going to talk about a new survey of American teenagers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday, and delighted to have Colin Ritter join us. He is a senior research associate at an organization called EdChoice, and he has penned a piece that has appeared in Fox News, an opinion piece that he co-wrote with Michael McShane, about a poll that EdChoice has recently released on American teenagers, hoping to gain some insight into what their attitudes are, their social media habits, and even their scholastic attendance records. Colin, welcome to Freedom Works.
Yeah, thank you so much, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely our pleasure. So tell us, what is, based on this survey, what is the state these days of the American teenager?
Yeah, I mean, one thing right off the bat that I appreciate about this generation, the teenagers, that they're very unapologetically blunt. They will tell you how they're feeling, and they're very outwardly not happy with the way school is, their schooling experience currently in K-12. No matter how you want to spin it, whether it's the lack of attendance, whether it's the boredom at school, whether it's using their phones, fear, lack of safety within the school, it's not going well for them, but they are speaking out about it, which I appreciate.
Yes, indeed. That is a very troubling feeling. You talk about a chronic wave of absenteeism that's sweeping the nation, according to this. The number of students who missed more than 10% of the school year has gone up to 28% of students. Yep. That's a scary number.
It is, yeah. I mean, in some states it's even higher, and this has been one of probably the biggest issue coming out of COVID-19, and we've done our own questioning of teenagers about it, and we're seeing 13% say that they've missed more than 15 days of school. And what's also troubling about that is that we poll parents as well, and parents are not reporting that. I'm more inclined to believe that they are underestimating, not purposely saying that their kids are missing less school, or they're going to school more often than they're missing, but I think that kids are just missing school more often than they're being honest about it.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Now, among other things, 64% of teens agreed with the statement that school is boring. 64%, including almost 70% of black teens.
Sure.
Now, that sounds to me like, if it's boring, perhaps the teachers are not making the programs interesting enough. Not to blame the teachers necessarily for all of it, but is there a sense that maybe we need to take a look at how these kids are being taught?
Yeah, and I fully admit it's not totally breaking news to say, teenagers think school is boring. But when it's two-thirds of teenagers saying that, then it is pretty alarming. I feel as though it's more about the system itself. Kids are not feeling, though, that school is teaching the skills that they require or that they desire for, future employment, to become good citizens. And there's been a ton of findings lately about the lack of civic knowledge of students, and that comes back to, the teaching every day in school. I'm not sure. Teaching is an incredibly hard job, and it's been incredibly difficult now, currently, with everything going on, whether it's, the rise of school shootings, the kind of the culture war appearing in school, things like that. But I think it's a combination of teachers are feeling burnt out, they're feeling less passionate, their job is becoming harder, and also the needs of teens are changing and the school system is staying the same. I think in order to hopefully get teens more engaged, I think we can hopefully get them more access to schools that would help that.
We can look back over the generations of kids, and it's always been, when you come into class, let's be honest, the kids are immature. I was immature, even in college when I was going into class. I was there to just get the, you know, get the degree. I was there to, you know, get through the classes, looking forward to what I was going to do later after the school day was over with.
Sure.
I mean, that's the way it was. So that's just part of the process. Now, we know that. So you've got to... when you've got these kids in these classrooms, you've got to somehow gain their interest. And however you do that, I know, for instance, you also mentioned in this report, 55% of the kids, the teens, said most of their classmates were using cell phones in class.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man. The first thing I think I would do is say, turn off your cell phones. I don't want to see one cell phone on here. And if I hear one cell phone on, you're going out the door. You know, immediately, you've got to get their full attention. This is obviously, there are some things, maybe these kids are just in a way, they're just so pampered, maybe so spoiled, because we allow them to be pampered and spoiled.
Yeah, the cell phone note is a really interesting one, and I know that we polled teachers, and they've said that they'd like more control over cell phone policies. And there's also a safety factor in this too, where parents and teens feel strongly that they need to have their cell phones on them in order to contact their parents and things like that. But then there is a debate on whether or not, you know, schools should allow cell phones in the classroom versus in the school. I know that's pretty polarizing, and teens are pretty dead set on wanting to have it at all times. Parents and teachers are a little bit more skeptical. I'd agree with you that I think if I were a teacher, the first thing I would do is try and get cell phones put away in school to a certain extent, because there's just no way it's not distracting.
Oh, no question about it. We're talking with Colin Ritter. He is a senior research associate of EdChoice. It's an organization working to advance educational freedom and choice for students. They have recently released a poll of American teenagers to gain some insight into what, what's inside their heads. Colin, of course, right now, major story, all the trouble on these different college campuses regarding the Israeli war situation. There's a feeling of anti-Semitism going on. Now they're breaking into some of the buildings. This is reminiscent to some extent, I think, of those of us that remembered the demonstrations on campuses during the Vietnam War period. Although, in that particular case, our country was directly involved, kids were directly involved in that war. This is not quite the same situation, but there's a feeling, a loss of a sense of safety and security on campuses. I think it kind of ties into what you're looking into here.
Yeah, and there's absolutely an issue going on for Jewish students around the country or college campuses. I think that some of the schools need to go out of their way to make sure that every student feels safe. And I don't believe at some campuses that is the case, and that's super unfortunate. And we do ask a question about what teens' plans are for after high school. And, you know, when we asked the question 2 years ago, the percentages of teens that were planning to go to an out-of-state college, you know, four-year traditional college, has gone down pretty much every year. We're seeing roughly less than half now. Teens feel that their plans after high school are planning to go to a four-year college. Places like gap years, trade schools, in-state community colleges are kind of picking up the pace there. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a reverberation effect there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It says here, when it came to attending school, about 7% of the kids told us they had missed school due to a fear of safety or bullying.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
When asked how well their school handled bullying, 37% said their school did not handle it well. 29% said their school did not handle violent behavior well. So, and of course, with these demonstrations, there is a sense of a loss of security and confidence. I don't know. All of this is sort of playing into, these kids wanting to pull away from four-year universities?
Yeah, and I think that's fair to say. The school safety when it comes to high schools is particularly concerning because we not only see it from teens when asked how well their school is doing, handling things like bullying, but we ask teachers the same thing, and they kind of reinforce that idea that the schools aren't doing enough. And the fact that, you know, only 57% of teens said that they feel safe in school, and if you dive into the demographics, you're looking at teens like rural teens, less than half feel safe. LGBTQ teens, less than half feel safe. Less than half of the females in high school feel safe. So it's really concerning. And the fact that you see 7% say that they're missing school because of, you know, the fear of safety or lack of safety or bullying, it's impossible to have a quality education if you're worried about your own safety.
Sure.
That's just not something schools are handling at the moment.
And, of course, getting back to using the Internet, social media, I mean, this is a new, you know, a new day and age. When I was going to school, we didn't have anything like that. We didn't even have a cell phone. So yeah, I think we were better off. I mean, we actually enjoyed and took in the campus experience. But a whopping 74% of kids, teens, 74% said that they use social media very or extremely often.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're still, you know, it's like they can't get away from that. If I could wave a magic wand, I think it would take away every cell phone on a campus, allow these kids to just live their lives without the distraction of these social media platforms where they have to just concentrate on talking to each other and going out and doing things and being active, you know, rather than sitting reading a screen on a phone.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, the socially, you know, socialization effect would be massive, I think. And like you said, 74% of teens say they use it extremely or very often. We follow up by asking, you know, what kind of impact that has on different things. So self-confidence and perception, 40% of teens say it has a negative effect. Mental health, 40% of teens say it has a negative effect. So while they are using it very often, if there is a silver lining here, it's that they're aware of the idea that this is causing a negative effect. I mean, my own experience personally, you know, as someone that grew up with social media, I've had to take steps to limit myself from using it because it is addicting. You find yourself on there for a second, and next thing you know, it's been 20 minutes, and I can't imagine what teens who are trying to navigate the world and learn about themselves and all this, you know, alongside them is this growing social media monster that is just outwardly trying to get their attention any way possible. And it's super tough. I don't envy the position they're in.
I don't either. I really feel bad for them. I mean, today you can't have people wandering on without one. You know, the pressure to, hey, you don't have a cell phone, you don't have access to the internet, you're not wandering around with a cell phone in your purse or in your hand or in your pocket. Like, you know, what's wrong with you? Colin, give me here at the end, give me a little bit of info on EdChoice. Tell us what your organization is all about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I really appreciate you having me on. So like you said earlier, our mission is to advance educational freedom, you know, and choice for all as a pathway to successful lives and a stronger society. And we feel that school choice is the way to do that. We feel that every child and family deserves a quality education. And the fact is, the only way you can have mobility or try and change school types is if you have the money to move to a neighborhood where the school is a little better quality. And we just think that that's an archaic system that kind of needs to change, and all families deserve options when it comes to their child's education. So we've really enjoyed the success in the last couple of years that states have provided when it comes to giving families more options, and we're hoping to see it continue because, like we've spent, you know, time talking about, it's kind of a mess, and the people that are suffering are the teens and the families who need their children to get quality education. And so something's got to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
We feel that this is a positive step forward.
Well, you keep up your good work at EdChoice. We're delighted to have had you. I hope that we can talk again down the road.
Of course, yeah. No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, and have a good rest of your day.
Thank you, Colin. It's our pleasure. Thank you very much. All right. Colin Ritter, EdChoice. We're going to take our break, And when we come back, a U.S. health firm CEO testifying today about their role in funding COVID research at China's Wuhan lab. Looks like he's got a lot to talk about.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcast Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back May 1st already, huh? Is this May Day? I guess it is. That's a big day in Russia. That's when I think they march out all of their tanks and military and their troops and wander around in front of that big Kremlin building. Here's something very interesting and not surprising. The New York City Police Department has released a video shows a professional protest consultant. Instructing a mob of anti-Israel agitators as they took over Hamilton Hall at Columbia University on Monday night. Now, New York City Mayor Eric Adams spoke about this group of outside agitators. He says, "We've sounded the alarm several times before about external actors who attempted to hijack this private protest. They're not here to promote peace or unity or allow a peaceful display. They're here to create discord and divisiveness." Cops say some of the outside agitators have been known to the New York Police Department for years, adding that they've seen an escalation in tactics that they believe are the result of guidance from these outside agitators. In a video, it shows this 63-year-old woman by the name of Lisa Fithian. She's watching a group of protesters chant anti-Israel slogans. Fithian is a professional protest consultant who has been arrested over 80 times. Wow. So if you don't think that a bunch of these agitators are being shipped in to do this kind of stuff, you just don't know what you're talking about. So we got both the boys here today, both Angelo and Andrew Ceresi, to talk a little bit about what is going on. Angelo, New York University, that's in your state. You're up in Rochester, of course. I don't know if there's anything going on at a local school in Rochester, but what do you think about all of this?
Well, I think that it's, like you said, it's all being done. You got pro-agitators doing this. It's backed by some kind of organization. If you could take a look at the placards and the signs that are being used and all the stuff that's going on, you know it's all organized.
Mm-hmm.
All across the country.
Yeah.
And they're trying to destroy this country from within.
I think there's some truth to that.
That you got an outside organization or organizations And they've, no, we had that Ilhan Omar. She went and talked to one of the colleges, didn't she, or a couple of them? These people are from within our own country doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to take over this country. I think they had a protest going on at the University of Rochester. I could be wrong. I don't know. But
well, it's breaking out all over the place.
Not to the extent of Columbia University, not like Columbia. New York City.
It's kind of scary. I was watching these idiots breaking into a building, smashing the glass on the door, reaching in. And the first few people in included camera people that were just wanted to get in there early to photograph the protesters that were coming. I mean, the whole thing looked orchestrated.
Yeah, it is orchestrated.
Yeah. Is Andrew there?
Andrew's here.
Oh, there you go, buddy. I was trying to ask you if what your thoughts were on all of that.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought it was kind of laughing last night when I see these 20-year-old college students starting to hit each other with their skateboards and their scooters. I mean,
yeah.
When I was their age, I had a car. You know, what are these kids doing? And secondly, you know, when you were talking earlier how we're importing all the immigrants, this country imports everything. We're importing immigrants, flying them in at night. We're flying in protesters. We import everything nowadays. They weren't kidding.
Yeah. We got George Soros. You know, we got him. We got. They've even mentioned a couple of the Rockefellers that seem to be involved.
The Rockefeller brothers.
Brothers. What's going on here? What is their idea? Why are they? Why would they be financing this? Why are they funding this? Why are they behind it? What is their sense? Huh?
Congress needs to investigate all this.
They just want to totally turn this country into an earthquake?
They want to turn this country into a communist country. So it's all socialism that's trying to take over this country.
Mm-hmm.
One rule law, one rule government, you know?
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about.
How do you feel like paying their tuition now? The American public is going to pay for these tuitions now?
You remember the term New World Order that came about?
New World Order. That's what I meant.
That's what you meant. And I remember that during the Bush years.
Yep.
People were accusing the Bushes. I remember because I worked at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce at the time. And one of the people that was one of the businesses that I had contact while I was at the chamber there. And the person said, yeah, have you ever heard of the New World Order? I said, no. He said, well, this is, you know, the Bushes are involved in it, and they, you know, George H.W. Bush, you know. And I thought, what are they talking about? But now I'm beginning to think, you know, there might have been some truth to not necessarily the Bushes, but some of these large and important families that, that seem to think that we should have a government outside of the United States, overseeing our country.
Well, what I think they mean by the New World Order is world communism.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they have always wanted to do.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Paul,
yeah.
What do you think about Mr. Biden and his administration want to bring in the refugees from Gaza now and let them become citizens?
I know. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, we were talking about that earlier with importing them. You know, they're coming through our airports.
You know what's funny about that or sad? No other Middle Eastern country will take them in.
That's right.
What does that tell you?
Yeah. It's a parole program. Did you know that?
They call it a parole program.
I don't understand this at all. Are the Bidens so upset with the country and free market and freedom in this country that they would revert to intentionally disrupting the order of our country?
They want chaos. That's what they want.
Well, number one is Barack Obama behind it all. Biden has no clue what's going on. He nods his head and mumbles.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we call
Somebody's giving him the orders. Now, where's it coming from?
It's the puppeteers that are doing it.
That's why we call the old Biden administration.
That's right. No question about it.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject here, we got to talk about Trump a little bit with what's going on with this trial.
Yeah.
And, okay, we got Kristi Noem, You know, she killed her dog. Everybody's upset about
that
20 years ago.
We talked about that.
Trump needs to get a VP in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This way he can start campaigning for him. You know who I think it's going to be? I told you the other day. I think he's going to go one or two, buddy.
Well,
he's either going Ron DeSantis or J.D. Vance.
Oh, you think J.D. Vance? Yeah, J.D. Vance is among those that they're talking about. I want to update people a little bit, by the way. The judge presiding over that hush money trial in New York has granted Trump permission to attend Barron, his son's high school graduation next month. I knew that would happen. There was no way. There was no way he was not going to allow it, because he would have looked like a total ogre if he had not allowed.
Well, he already does.
Yeah, he does.
He's got Cohen talking all he can, all his bull crap on his Twitter account, and this, and Trump can't say nothing? I would love to hear Trump's rebuttal to this. This judge, I believe, is Puerto Rican. I thought he might have been Cuban, but no, he's got to be Puerto Rican. That's right. He's got to be Puerto Rican. And I cannot believe this guy does not recuse himself. Or why cannot another court system force this guy to recuse himself? I do not understand this. When they see what's going on, why cannot Congress force him to recuse himself? Why are they doing nothing?
Yeah, indeed. And remarks ahead of yesterday morning's court hearing, Trump called on Mershon, the judge, to recuse himself. He called the case a hoax. He said it's overseen by a badly conflicted judge. On Tuesday, that's yesterday, Mershon, the judge, ordered Trump to pay $9,000 in fines for violating a gag order that bans him from speaking publicly about witnesses and family members of court officials. The judge found that he violated the order on 9 separate occasions, and he fined him $1,000 for each. He wanted to fine him more, by the way.
And he threatened him with jail time.
Yeah.
Well, I think Trump, let them put Trump in jail, because you know what? They think they got problems now on the college campuses. I don't think they've seen nothing yet in New York. Because if they put Trump in jail, I got news for you. Another thing. How come they're not calling this college thing an insurrection, huh?
Yeah. Well,
why is that not an insurrection? That's right. Why aren't they calling it that?
Well,
this is disgusting what's going on, and it needs to be done. And I don't know why Congress doesn't get involved in the higher parts of our government.
Look what happened in the University of North Carolina. I guess this morning, the American flag that stood in the courtyard, they had put up the Palestinian flag. So staff and security went out, removed it, put the American flag up. The kids stood around and cheered and did the national anthem and everything. As soon as the staff walked away, they pulled it down. The protesters pulled it down and put their flag back up. I'm sorry, but that is college property or whatever.
No, of course.
Why isn't somebody arrested?
Yeah,
they're going to change that hall in Columbia University now. They're going to call it Hamas Hall.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that because of these break-ins, that we're going to start to see finally that this is going to dissipate. I think they finally crossed the line, and all of these presidents of these different colleges. By the way, they're all there. The funding that is coming in from private donors to these schools is going to evaporate. So they're going to start. I think you're going to see this whole thing start to dissipate.
And the amount of lawsuits of the parents against the colleges are going to be going through the roof.
Yep.
How about this? Joe Concha last night on Fox News was saying that all these colleges, like Columbia University, has millions in their endowments, right? They should pay for the state of New York now, for the police that had to be used, the overtime and everything else. Going to their endowments, let them pay for all this
stuff.
There
you go. Send them the bill.
They allowed it to happen.
Yeah. And the parents should say, you know what? I paid for my kid to come to the school, and look what's going on. I want my money back. I'm going to sue you.
And this joker of a president we have.
Yeah, he won't even talk about it.
Wants us to pay for their tuition.
And by the way, where is he?
Where is he?
I call him Hiding Biden. He's not even going to stand up and say, well, you know, if Trump was president, Trump would be all over this
stuff. Well, he already was last night. He was on Fox News. Where is the president of the United States? Where's the vice president of the United States? Where is Alvin Bragg? Where is the governor of New York? Where are they?
They're making sure Trump can't campaign, buddy. They're staying in court to make sure he's there. That's why, because you know what? They're so freaking afraid of Trump. It's unbelievable, and they should be, because they better pray to God he doesn't get in, because if he does, I guarantee you their careers are over with.
And I don't understand something. These people that are, quote, protesting because they don't like the Democrats, what the hell do you think is going to happen when Trump's in office? Right. He's not going to wait this long.
No.
And the water cannons will come out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Democratic Party is not the Democratic Party of John Kennedy years ago. It's more communist. The radicals are taking it over. The pro-Palestinian people that are here in this country have taken over the Democratic Party.
Well, I can tell you the elderly people need to be educated on this, because I hear it all the time. On top of the world is all elderly people. And they say, Andrew, you do not believe all the Democrat people that are in there. And they think this is still the Kennedy Democrats. And they will vote up and down Democrat. They need to be re-educated, believe me.
Well, it's hard to educate these older people. They just, like you said, they believe that the party is like John Kennedy. It's not. Just take a look at look at your blue states. Look at the trouble you've got. It's not the Democratic Party. It's more the Communist Party.
I'm wondering where are the New Yorkers at in this? Why aren't they down there in the city? You know, no city man.
I can't believe there's not a million people standing outside that courthouse for Donald Trump. Well,
can't you send a group from Brooklyn? Take care of this group.
Those days are gone, Ed.
I'll tell you what, though.
People should be marching in Washington right
Trump
now.
Trump is expanding his lead on Biden, so people are taking into account what is going on overall. And I think when Biden doesn't come out and respond to any of this stuff, he's losing even more people. And Trump's pulling away, in my opinion. And the way things are going, it's just reinforcing that Donald Trump is going to win again.
What's that filmmaker, Michael Moore?
Yeah.
He had a meltdown because he says Biden's going to lose this election.
Yeah, he's right.
And I am not going to have Trump president again.
I know. There was a meltdown, too, speaking of him, James Carville, you know, that curmudgeon James Carville. He had a meltdown. He said, these people that don't want to vote, that are Democrats, that they don't want to go out and vote. And he started swearing about it. And he was so upset because he sees the apathy among the so-called Biden supporters in the Democratic Party. I think he's right. So I think it bodes well for Donald Trump. I really do.
America should be marching on Washington right now. Millions should be marching on what's happening with the law in this country.
Yeah.
What Merrick Garland is doing as Attorney General. What Biden has done with the Justice Department, weaponizing it. This is a third world country. This would be Nazi Germany today. Yeah.
Because if we march and we have a protest, it's called an insurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be an insurrection on what's happening in this country. We should be protesting with what's happening, with what they've done. And weaponized this country the way they have.
Well, I could tell you if this was the late 70s and early 80s, this wouldn't be going on in New York. I could tell you that right now. Giuliani's the one that ruined that one.
Yeah. Hey, guys, got to run, but you're right. Keep up the good thoughts. I want to talk with you guys again, hopefully Friday.
But, be good, buddy.
And you be the same. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
The Ceresi brothers. All right, going to take our final break. When we come back, I promise you, we are going to talk about this Echo Health president testifying about COVID and the top 10 countries with the most hurricanes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop,
It's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcast Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you for being with us. Echo Health Alliance president, his name is Peter Daszak. He's testifying this morning, apparently, before the House Select Subcommittee. He's publicly testifying on the coronavirus pandemic. Now, Echo Health is a U.S.-based nonprofit. Their mission, supposedly, is to prevent pandemics. And reportedly, they use taxpayer dollars to fund gain-of-function research at China's Wuhan Institute. Now, Daszak testified behind closed doors in November, but Republicans said his testimony contained many discrepancies. Now they want Daszak to address the discrepancies in his testimony and publicly explain Echo Health's relationship with Wuhan. They say the discrepancies raise serious questions about the veracity of Echo Health's public statements, including their insistence that the research that they funded could not have caused the pandemic. Echo Health reportedly got millions of dollars in grants from the National Institute of Health. So they're tied in with Wuhan. And I tell you, between Fauci and all of this stuff going on.
Pfizer.
Yeah, I'm beginning to worry. All of these people with their involvement in this pandemic. I want the truth to come out on that. Okay, Ed, time for our top 10. A very interesting one. We got this from the Weather Channel, believe it or not. And these are the top 10 countries that get the most hurricanes. The most hurricanes. Okay, let's see if you know what's the number one country that gets the most hurricanes. So you got to listen. All right, here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Cuba.
Okay.
And their hurricane season's June through November. They've recorded 79 hurricane landfalls since records began and 15 since 1970. All right, number 9. Number 9 is Madagascar. And their season of hurricanes, November through April, their strongest was in 2004. It hit land at 155 miles an hour. 237 were killed. Number 8. Vietnam is number 8, and they have a hurricane season year-round. Numerous typhoons have made landfall. They had one, Lola, in 1993, and Zach in 1995, were over 115 miles an hour. Number 7. The country of Taiwan, yes indeed, year-round, by the way. Strongest typhoon they ever got, 1959. Typhoon Joan, 185 mile-an-hour sustained winds. Number 6, Australia. Yeah, November through April is their hurricane season. The strongest cyclone was 2006, Monica. Winds of 180. Wow. Number 5. The good old USA, number 5. And that includes Hawaii. And our hurricane season is June through November. Strongest hurricane ever, 1935 Labor Day hurricane. It hit landfall down in the Keys. Sustained winds of 185 miles an hour.
I wonder if that was due to global warming.
Yeah, in 1935. Number 4. Mexico gets more hurricanes than we do. May through November is their season. The strongest they ever got, Hurricane Dean 2007 and Anita 1977 and Janet in 55, all at 175 miles an hour.
That's interesting because they get on both sides.
Yeah, they do.
They get it on the Atlantic side, the Pacific side.
Yes, they do. Yeah. You're right about that. Yep. Number 3. Japan.
I thought that'd be number 1.
Yeah. Well, Japan is right there. Year-round, by the way. Strongest, 1959, Typhoon Vera. 160 miles an hour. Number 2, the Philippines. and their season is year-round. Strongest, Typhoon Yolanda, 2013, 195 mile an hour when it hit landfall. Wow. All right, Ed, what do you think's number one?
I thought Japan would get it.
It's a very large country.
China?
That's it.
Mm, wow.
Would you believe China? And their season is year-round. Now, remember how big they are, right? Mm. Strongest that they ever got was Typhoon Raman in southern China in 2014 with 155 to 160 miles an hour. They've had at least 127 typhoons that have made landfall in China since 1970.
Mm.
Wow, busy. All right. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back on Friday. Meantime, remember, freedom works.
If I listen to your life, would you say I'm a man without conviction? I'm a man who doesn't know how to say.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Steve Kathan. They're sorting it out in New York City after police stormed a campus building that had been occupied by protesters at Columbia University.